Welcome to the program. Today I have an interesting couple here who were Catholics and really struggled for quite a time to see that they should really come to a place where they could grow in faith and where they're longing for their children to be fed and to be nourished in the ways of the Lord and to come to a sound relationship with the Lord, that could not be met where they were in the Catholic Church. So a real interesting type of family conversion, should we call it, really coming to the Lord by grace. So I'm really happy to introduce you to, as I welcome Mark and Sean Prosser. Welcome Mark, welcome Sean.
Thank you.
I'd like to start with you, Mark. Just give some idea how you grew up in the Catholic Church and what it was like to be a young Catholic boy.
Okay. Well, I was baptized in the Catholic Church. Grew up there and stayed there until just recently, almost a year ago. Growing up as a boy, really didn't pay attention a lot to the masses. Just kind of went through the motions. And then probably around the age, between the age of 16 and 18, I started developing maybe a little bit more of an interest in the Catholic Church, to the point where even though I was away at college, I would go on a weekly basis. And just thought I think I did it out of just because it was a ritual or a necessity rather than a love for God. Prior to that, I did go through all my sacraments, but I never really got a good feeling as to why I was going through them, especially the First Communion and the penance and also confirmation. I really never felt like I achieved the next level of my Catholic religion by going through the sacrament itself. We got married back.
But before we get there, just a little bit more before we get on to Sean and your marriage. Was there any contentment or satisfaction? Did you think that you had any type of relationship with God? Or was it, how was it for you in those years?
No, I never really felt that I had any satisfaction. There may have been like what I perceived as pieces here and like little, like a day of peace here and there. And that may have been after going to a priest and confessing my sins. One thing actually sticks out in my mind. There was a 5-year period in there where I didn't go and do my confession until I was probably between the age of 15 and 20, I think it was. And I had done it, or I went to our college priest and confessed my sin to him directly. And I cried a little bit afterwards, but the next day I was back off doing the same old thing again. So.
Yeah. I know it from the other point of view. I heard confessions and it used to really bother me when week after week people would come back with the same sins, you know, because I really believe when I said, I absolve you from all your sins earlier on, because we said that in Latin. And it used to really bother me, and what really bothered me even more, you know, because you're really close to a person, you only have the screen in front of you, you know, you could, like sometimes I would see sweat on people's, cheeks and everything, but it was an embarrassment to them to be confessing their sins into the ear of a man, mm-hmm. you know, who is himself not perfect or anything like perfect before God. So it's, it is difficult, you know. Before we get to the marriage, Mark, I want to talk to Sean about your growing up in the Catholic Church. Was it the Catholic Church? Or?
No, I did not. I really didn't have a solid religious background. We, what I consider church hopped, to different types of churches between Methodist and Lutheran and Presbyterian, and then it would only go down to a holiday attendance. It wouldn't be an every week attendance. And by the time I was 11, 12, I don't think we ever went back. So I really don't even know if I even believed in God or trusted in God, because it was not instilled in me. So it wasn't until I met Mark that that the church took place in my heart, and even then it took a while.
Okay,
it didn't take any importance in my life until...
You came into the Catholic Church as an adult then?
I did, yes.
Okay, so did you do the training program? Like, it's a fairly hectic training program, because I know I have instructed people to bring them into the Catholic Church as a priest, so I know it from the other side. So did you go through that training program? How was the priest who gave you the program?
My priest was very laid back. He was very comfortable just with the drills, just with talking with me one-on-one. It could be 30 minutes, it could have been 45 minutes. It was very simple. There was nothing really spiritual about it. It was just a series of questions, and if I, do I want to become part of the Catholic religion, and do I want to become part of the church? Especially because I was becoming in union with Mark, marriage, and I said, well, I'm doing this so I can get married in a Catholic church, and, you know, I do want to be part of it. But really, I wasn't taught about any of the sacraments. I did not have to go through any sacraments to become part of the church.
Why not? Because you were not a Catholic before then, so why did you not?
He did not require them, because I was baptized Lutheran as a child, and that, he said, just because of that, our religions were close, because Lutheran was a branch off the Catholic Church, so he said that would be good enough to become part of the Catholic Church.
It's not exactly a branch of the Catholic Church, but maybe that priest wasn't very well instructed. Did he seem very interested in Catholicism, the priest himself?
I don't think so. I just think he was doing it because it was what he was supposed to do. He was just bringing me and another body into the Catholic Church, possibly.
Yeah, that used to upset me as a priest. I was quite devout as a priest. We reckon those of us who were devout, it was about 10% of us who really believed what we were doing. And we used to really get annoyed at the other priests. I remember sometimes saying to a priest, if you really believe that was the body and blood of Christ, you would not run through the Mass like you do in that flippant way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would have respect for what you do. And of course, they wouldn't listen to people like me, you know. I remember playing golf with some of the priests, and they'd say, you know, well, pray to that Jesus of yours, you know, to get the ball down. You know, I mean, like it was, you know, they would mock those of us who were trying to be sincere, you know, and so it used to bother me even as a priest that most of the priests just seemed to go through the motions. And I know that it bothers some Catholics indeed, as to say the priest comes in and goes out, and it's just like a machine is going through the same processing.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been there before, and it is difficult for a sincere person, and I can understand maybe how you were a bit bewildered, to say the least. What happened then? Was there some little ceremony where you officially received into the church?
Yes, it was very informal. It was just, my mother-in-law was my sponsor, and he just baptized me one afternoon.
I thought you said you didn't have to be baptized.
We had to be baptized, but he did not make me go through the confirmation or any of the sacraments. Confession, I did not have to go through that.
Yes. Did he teach you any Catholic prayers?
No, he did not. He did not require me to memorize any prayers.
Yeah, okay.
No.
And
the only thing that I really had to do, he had to give me the okay to be baptized, and that was the only thing that I had to do.
Yes, yes. You didn't learn any scriptures, did you?
Nothing.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so that's one of the things that, as a priest myself, I would have been annoyed at priests who did it that way, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it's not in any way satisfying that even the priest is doing the Catholic law, you know, and that is a general disappointment that many Catholics feel, is that the priest is not actually doing what he's supposed to do according to Catholic teaching. And it bothers those priests who are sincere and devout. Now let's get back to you, Mark.
Okay.
When you were, was it then in your late teens, you were really getting convicted that you needed some sort of a deeper walk with God, or you needed to know God in some way. So what steps did you take inside the Catholic Church to get some sort of a relationship with God?
I think at that point in my life, I was starting to at least listen throughout some of the Mass and try to, you know, understand why we were going through some of the motions or some of the rituals that we were going through. So up until that point in time, I just went to Mass and sat there and really didn't pay attention to what the priest had said, to now I'm starting to pay a little bit more attention. And that kind of worked its way throughout my 20s. I think by the end of my 20s, I was at least paying attention throughout most of the Mass, going from when I wasn't paying attention at all. Thinking about back on it now, I don't think it really improved my relationship with God, because I just still never found that, even at the end there, I would go out at the end of the Mass and act the same way I did before I came into the Mass, you know, mm-hmm. back to business as usual.
Yes.
So I thought I was being a little bit better, because I was kind of giving myself kudos, because I felt that I was saying, okay, now I'm being better because I'm starting to pay attention. God, I think as time goes along here, you know, maybe I'll start doing the things for you. back in probably about, as soon as I hit about age 30, 32, I really started to develop more of a hunger for God's Word. And that's about the time that the conversion process, I think, started taking
now,
place.
Were you married to Sean at the time, at age 32, or when did you get married?
I got married to her when I was 28.
Okay. So, well, maybe we should do that, first of all, how you met Sean and how you got married. You know, I'll do it from your side and then her
okay.
side.
we met right after I graduated from college. I was about 23 at the time, and just met at a family gathering of mine. Our two families had become friends while I was out at college. We got to be mutually acquainted at that point in time, and then I left for Western New York at that point in time, a couple months after we had met. And we kind of grew apart a little bit at that point and broke up, but then all of a sudden, I just developed a need to get back with her while she was out at college at that point in time. And after she graduated, we moved in together. And probably about 2 years after that, we had asked to be married. And things were, kind of funny thing, things were going real good while we were living together.
Yeah.
And we didn't realize this till probably about couple months ago, that mm-hmm. Satan was just allowing that to go.
Yes,
really wasn't
yes.
throwing any roadblocks in the way. So
yeah, because our first year of marriage was very rocky. We were wondering why we were constantly at each other and arguing. And
yes.
So
yeah. It is hard, isn't it, when you start on the wrong foot? So did you see anything spiritual about Mark that attracted you, or what was it?
No, there wasn't anything spiritual.
Yeah.
It was just, I was very young. I just turned 18
mm-hmm.
when we met. And our lifestyle back then was going out and doing things that we should not have been doing. And because he was older, I could get away with it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not even sure if we even loved each other at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just liked being around each other.
Mm-hmm.
It was not... Really, we didn't show any spirituality until just several years ago.
Yes,
and that was tough for me because I still wasn't there yet.
Yeah, so when you got married, it's in the Catholic Church
yes.
that you get married, and that's
yes.
really why you became Catholic.
Yes,
and
really that was just to make it easier for us to get married.
Yes, right. And then you signed papers that all the children were brought up as Catholics.
We did not have to sign any papers.
Oh, you didn't, because both of you are Catholics. Yes, yeah. I should know that. Having been in the role of parish priest, you know, for 21 years, I know exactly. So, then, Mark, did you get any position in the Catholic Church, or did you try to get deeper in the Catholic Church?
I tried to get deeper into it.
Yeah.
I tried. First, I wanted to be an elector, and I thought that would that was going to help me to get all the feel or the closest of God or the closest to God that I could imagine, and I went through the motions of that, and at first I thought it was helping me a little bit, but as time went along, all I would do is I would study the Word. Like moments before I had to go up and do my readings for that week. And the other thing that kind of made me shocked or be shocked by it was we had received training about 2 years into my lectureship there, and all of a sudden they decided that they were going to change the way you went up and presented yourself and the way you carried the book of the Gospels up.
That was the missal.
A lot of fluff, I thought, and it was all being brought up by one of the latest thinking from the Vatican, the way you approach the ambo, and when the priest was done with the book of Gospels, he would place it down in front rather than you carrying it out of the procession. And something was resonating with me at that point in my life. That didn't make sense, that we've got all these new different ways of going and approaching things, and really we should be more worried about the Word of God at that point, I was thinking, than the way we walk up and the way we possess out of the church. Almost liking it to someone who's a bowler and they're worried about their stance and the way they approach the alley. Yeah. But they're still throwing the ball in the gutter. I don't think it's going to matter. So,
yeah, it is difficult. And I remember the rubrics, the red print in the book, that we were always having to do what the rubrics said, and it was very, very difficult. And if you get a priest who is just insisting on the rubrics that have come from the Vatican, it is difficult because it's stifling till till somebody just wants to get up and read what the Word of God says. Did you notice it? I noticed it towards the end that, you know, that it's a missal and it's not the Bible that you're reading from. It's divided under different feasts.
Yep.
Like the Mother of God on January the 1st. So that's the feast. And the whole way the Bible is broken up is under different traditions of the church. So it's really interpreted before you begin to read. You know, if it's a Mass for All Souls Day, it presupposes that you believe in purgatory and that you presuppose that you believe that you can pray for souls in purgatory. So it's divided in such a way that it's put a presupposition on the Word before you ever read it. And that was dawning on me in my last 2 years as a priest. And my last 2 years as a priest, I used to carry a Bible instead of the lectionary, and I'd open up to the portions in the Bible, and I'd ask people to bring their Bibles to church. This was the Catholic priest. And it used to cause difficulties because some of the people said, we don't do that. We have our lectionary, you know what I mean? And in Trinidad, it was quite common that the Catholic newspaper printed the Sunday text on a piece of paper, you know, in one of the pages in the newspaper, and they could take out the page and see the readings from the newspaper page of the Catholic paper, and they say, you know, you shouldn't have the Bible, you know. And I said, but this is from the Bible and we should read it as it is in the Bible. And even that, you know, because it wasn't according to the rituals, and I was just having a Bible in front of me, people got annoyed, you know what I mean? Why should we be annoyed for reading the Bible, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I can empathize with you, Mark, in having problems about the rituals, because I know towards my last 2 years, I really did away with some of the rituals, because I really wanted to, grow in the Word, and I wanted to really know the Word of God. And if I really didn't like sometimes the way the readings were approached, I would actually change and take other readings from the Bible, which I thought that would really speak to the people there for that particular day. Like on New Year's Day that I've spoken about, we had so much of Mary during Christmas. I thought to have Mary again for the first day of the year, when we should be thinking of what we are going to try and achieve this year, it should be readings to do with pressing forward in our Christian life, instead of looking again to Mary, the Mother of God. So on New Year's Day, I would change the readings, and that caused a lot of problems, as you may imagine. And yeah. Some cars were driving off then on Monday or Tuesday up to the Archbishop's house to tell the Archbishop what I had done at the Sunday Mass. Anyway, to get back to you then, Sean, you are now married to Mark, and you have become Catholic. And have you any children now in the marriage? And, you know, have you started bringing up these children? Or what was it like, you know? What was it like then for you as a Catholic wife and then a Catholic mother, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, yes, what was it like?
It started out very strongly because Mark used to work a lot of hours. And the only thing that I could count on him being home for was Mass. That's the only thing that was stable. And so basically that made me just dive into the Catholic religion, because that's the only thing that I could hold on to that my husband would be around for. And then raising the children, of course, we only had one daughter at the time. She was a year old at that point, where I needed him around. So at that point, raising a little baby wasn't, and the Catholic Church wasn't a huge deal. It was just me trying to do what the Catholics say the right thing is. And that would be, you know, being faithful to the sacraments and to the prayers, and that just committing that my children would do the same thing. So as the children grew up, I grew into the Catholic faith. And all my friends were Catholic. We all were very involved in the Catholic Church. I started out slow. I became a greeter, and then eventually I would help out with the Sunday school, and they pressured me for about 3 years to become a Eucharistic minister, which I was in my late 20s, and the only reason why I didn't is because my children were very young. When they became school-age children, I put them in Catholic school because I thought that was the only road to go. And that's exactly what they needed, was the Catholic religion. They needed the religion. That was the most important thing to me. And so I did center quite a bit on the Catholic religion. It wasn't really that I centered on God. I centered on the sacraments and
right,
the prayers.
Yes, and the prayers, yeah. Did the rosary mean much to you? Did you keep saying the rosary?
I did. I would say it mostly in the Carlos and the Catholic radio.
Yes, and were you learning? What were you learning from the Catholic radio?
I really wasn't. I thought I was, and as long as I could just say the rosary, just memorize it, that would be all that I needed to do. But I really didn't know what it really truly meant. As long as I knew I was saying, I thought that's what mattered.
So you just kept on saying the Hail Marys, and
I did. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you understand anything about the mysteries of the rosary, that you're supposed to be meditating on the different mysteries?
I did not meditate on them, no.
Yeah, yeah. So you weren't well instructed in the
Catholic faith. No, I was not. I just was going through the weekly motions, and, you know, you kneel when you're supposed to kneel. I can remember in the middle of Mass saying prayers, and I'd be like, oh, we're done. I thought we were still in them.
Yes.
You know, I would say them, but I would not, they became so repetitious in my life that that's what you just did. You do them so often that it's, that they just become they just become something you say, not something that you take to your heart.
It becomes really empty and void.
It does.
It doesn't.
And then when it doesn't mean anything, that's when you're in trouble, you know, and they just didn't mean anything to me. It's just something that I thought that I should do as a good Catholic.
Yes, and then you're going to teach your daughter the same things because that's what you know and that's what is the church you belong to and that's the way you think that there's going to be meaning in your life.
Right.
Right. So back to you, Mark. Now, you are a lector and you're trying to progress in the Catholic Church. Is there any turning point that something happens whereby you begin to have doubts or does God convict you or any way? Or is there any turning point on the road as you go along?
Yeah. Back about 5 years ago, I started listening to Christian radio. I just thought that I would tune in and try to learn a little bit more about the Word of God. And this was kind of in the middle of my lecture duties.
Yeah.
And for all my life, I only thought that Catholic religion was it. I never really thought of what the other religions were outside the Catholic religion. And I always thought that, you know, most of the world is the Catholic religion. You know, I must be in the right group here. And all of a sudden I started listening to Christian radio and to people like John MacArthur and Chuck Swindoll. And I was just kind of blown away by, you know, they were preaching through the Bible. And, you know, we were the only thing we would really hear at a Catholic Mass would be, you know, go out and do good throughout the homily. And it was more of a touchy-feely, do-good type homily that we would get, and it was only about 5 or 10 minutes, but it really never had Bible material in it. But I would listen to Chuck Swindoll or John MacArthur, and they would have a half-hour truncated message, and I had gotten more meat from the Word of God out of that than I did throughout my lectureship. And all of a sudden, things just started to... I started to look at things through a different light, and now saying, God, you know, here I am thinking that Catholics are the Catholic religion is the only way, true way, and I'm hearing this word, your word being preached out of the Bible, and the word out of the Bible seems to make more sense to me than the Catholic religion. And the other thing that started bothering me kind of in the same way was we would get the Catholic religion would seem to push down new methodologies, I'll call them, every couple of years, it seems like. This is the way you're supposed to take communion, and this is the way you're supposed to do your approach the ambo when you do your lectures. And it just seemed like things were always changing in the Catholic religion to kind of keep up with today. Mm-hmm. But God's word
was the same, yeah.
It was the same.
Now, you mentioned John MacArthur, and he really gives the gospel when he preaches. And, you know, he gives a message like, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that we are dead in trespasses and sins, and that we have to look to Christ for salvation. So constantly through his messages, you will always get the message that it is only looking to Christ for salvation. Did you at any stage get convicted that you were a sinner and you needed to turn and trust on Christ alone?
It took me a while. At first, I thought that when John was saying that, you know, I'm thinking, well, I'm still confessing to God, but it's through a priest. You know, I still think I'm okay, but I'd say after hearing about a year or so of that, I realized that, you know, what we're doing, or going to a priest and confessing my sins, really wasn't the answer. And I started thinking back, yeah, every time I went to confess my sins to a priest, I did my penance, and then as soon as I walked out of the church, I was kind of back to where I was before. Mm-hmm. So I never felt fulfillment there. It took me a while to understand that.
But you did come to a day where you said, like, God, I need Christ Jesus, and I trust on him. Did you come to that stage?
Yes,
I
did. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I had had a real bad day fighting with my wife. I was abusive towards her, and we had one of those days again, and I felt pretty convicted at that point, and I basically got so messed up by it. I said, God, I can't take this anymore. I confess the sin to you. I confess all my sins to you. I know I'm a sinner. I've done horrible acts. I need to get out of this. Lord, please save me.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I had a little bit of a breakdown at that point, and it just felt like at that point I felt good to get that off my chest and tell God.
Yeah. God is faithful and just if we confess our sins.
Yes.
Because he is just because of the finished work of Christ Jesus, which John MacArthur would have preached as the finished work of Christ Jesus. And when you trust in that alone, and we confess directly to God, and he does, forgive us our sins, and in his grace credit us with the righteousness of God. You may not have had it exactly that clearly at the time in your mind, but you did experience, did you at that time, myself, a peace with God that you hadn't before?
Yeah, I felt that more than I've ever had through confession with a priest at that point in time, that I felt, I feel like I've actually confessed my sin to God.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, this is really interesting because I've come across other Catholics and many of them who reach this stage where they are convicted that they're a sinner and they trust in Christ alone. And then they go back to the Catholic Church and it seems a little bit void. I don't want to go jump ahead of you, but how was it for you when you went back to the Catholic Church then?
It was pretty difficult. Yeah. And at that, after hearing those messages, I had started wondering prior to being saved, why are we going through these rituals of standing, kneeling, sitting, and going through communion? It just seems like everybody's in here is just going through the motions. And it really started to bother me right after that point, that it just doesn't seem like I'm getting the Word of God here. And another point that started to really hit home was, I had heard messages where God's Word tells me that I'm supposed to be the leader of my family, and I'm going to be held accountable someday. And that really bothered me, that if we stay in this Catholic religion, that, my kids and my wife can be damned someday, and it was all my fault because I never really brought them out of that religion.
Mm-hmm. So I was, you talk about kids now. Had you got a second child?
We had a second child at that point in my life.
Okay, so were you desirous then that your children grow in the knowledge and fear of God and the wisdom of God?
Yes.
And I think that is the main emphasis of many couples, and many Catholic couples want their children to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God, because that's a desire God puts into the heart of parents, and it should be honored because they desire to the children to grow up and to be not only free from sin, but to have a joy and to have a security that they know Christ Jesus and they know the Father, like Christ Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. So this was a great desire that you had, and you were not seeing it fulfilled then.
Great.
Yeah. And how did it feel for you at that time, Sean, as the wife with your two daughters now? Were you just stubbornly still Catholic?
I was very adamant that he was just losing it, and as he was saying, we were having problems.
Yes, yes. That's putting it mildly, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, but it takes two of us to do that. I mean, I wasn't innocent by any means, I was turning to alcohol.
Wow, yeah.
Before he'd walk in the door, I would start, feel like I was breaking out, so I'd grab the wine bottle and start having a glass or two of wine, just so I was sort of numb before he walks in the door, because I did not know what he was going to throw at me, as far as wordage, how he was going to come home, and if I did anything wrong, he would throw, or if I did something to upset him, he would throw a scripture at me. I'm like, stop it. That's just, it's awful. Don't do that, you know? And like, you're becoming part of a cult, and I would call him a hypocrite. I go, if you believe in the Bible that much and you're acting like this, you're a hypocrite. Yeah. He's like, no, but I'm changing. And I'm like, no, you're not. I just didn't want to see it. I did not want to believe it. I was bet that we're not changing. And I came to a point, I'm like, fine, I am taking the children to the Catholic Church. You go where you want. We will split our family up.
Yes, yes.
And he's like, no, we're not splitting our family up. So one summer, friends of mine were sending their children to a Baptist vacation Bible school week. And I'm like, are you crazy? Mm-hmm. I said, there's no way my children are going there. They're Catholic. They're not going to a Baptist. Then my children just started whining because they wanted to go with their friends. And I caved against my will. I caved. I walked into that church and I just didn't say anything to anybody. And I'm like, here, you're here. I don't like it. Yeah. And I walked out. And they would come home every day learning their scriptures and just really happy, saying they want to go back every day of the summer. And how many children want to go back to Sunday school or Bible school every single day?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's going on here that I don't know? So I still, at that point, said, we're not going anywhere but to the Catholic Church. I'm glad you had fun. Yeah. Keep up with it, but we're not converting.
Yeah.
So a year later, we took a move. Well, Mark was taken away for 8 months, and at that point, we were ready just to say, forget everything, because our marriage was just not good. And I'm like, you know what, maybe divorce isn't a bad thing. And at that point, God removed him from my life and put him in Texas for 8 months and left me home with two children.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it's not so much that I needed him to help me with the children or to help me with the house, but I needed him for me.
I realized
that we still did have a great love, and that I missed him. And so I realized that God showed me that a divorce is not the answer, is that we just needed to trust in the Word and just to love each other and to be patient with each other. And at that point, we also moved back to our family home here, and we still belong to the Catholic Church, but we weren't happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I did agree to come to this church
to the Baptist church. You're agreeing to go, but we must be running ahead here. Were you going to the Baptist church at the time, Mark, or did you change?
No, I was still going to the Catholic church, but it was against.
Oh, you agreed together. You were both going.
I didn't
together.
Want to split the family up.
Okay. So you're both together going to go to a Baptist church.
Yeah.
Yes.
While you still are Catholics.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. This is interesting. Then.
Yes. Well, he did not want to remain Catholic, but he was going because I refused.
Yeah,
and he did not want to split up our family.
Okay.
I refused to go somewhere else.
That is good. You know, he was attempting to be the head of the family, probably for the real first time. And so you go to a Baptist church then, and what do you hear or you see any differences when you come into the Baptist church?
Yeah. It was quite frightening for me. It was. And I walked out and I'm like, there's no Christ hanging from the cross. What's wrong with this church? They don't, how are they supposed to worship him if he's not there?
Yeah.
And being the first sermon was about wives, submit to your husband. And I was like, oh no, because I am an equal, you know. And way the Catholic Church is, you know, wives and husbands are equal, and why should I have to ask for permission to do something?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's just not right. And Mark showed me in the Bible where you're supposed to be head of, the husband is supposed to be the head of the household. It's not that he is telling you what to do. It's just the way it should be.
Yes, there's an order in marriage. While we're equal in the Lord as believers, there is different roles. And it says in Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. So, you know, and it goes on later on that husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, love your wives with a sacrificial love. So the husband is to love his wife, but there is an order, and the husband is to be the head of the home. So you were having difficulties with that.
I was, because at that time I was not saved.
Yes,
and
yes.
All of this just seemed like, it just seemed over the edge. And I've never seen so many people use their Bibles as they have here. And I felt that a little out of my comfort zone. I just got so comfortable in the Catholic Church.
You get to know
all the prayers, and you're comfortable because nothing changes. You're not held accountable.
Right.
In the Catholic Church.
And here you come, and everybody's carrying their Bible.
Yes, I came here, and
they know it. You know.
They do, and it does convict you. And I think that's part of the reason why I wanted to run so fast away from here, is because I was indeed being convicted, and I didn't want to be.
I did
not want to be by any means. I did not want to submit. I did not want to do all these things that a wife should do.
Right, yes.
And it took a while, but, you know, Mark stopped going to the Catholic Church. The children stopped. I did not make him go.
Yes, yes.
I went back. Yes. I would go Saturday nights, come here Saturday mornings. And after coming here a few times, and just even though I didn't want to be here, and I had these walls up, it's you couldn't help but not listen.
Yes, yes.
Because you're hearing so many different things. And the children would be so happy, and their attitudes have changed, and it was, you could see the change through your children. And I would go back to the Catholic Church, and it was painful. It was painful to sit there and see nothing mentioned about God, nothing mentioned about the sins, and that you should be accountable for your sins, nothing. And it was just so different. I walked out there feeling I wasted my time,
mm-hmm.
you know, that this is just not for me anymore.
And you, together with Mark, are desiring now that your children grow to know God and have a relationship with God.
Yes,
two girls.
We are. And we have three now. We just had another baby 8 months
wonderful,
ago.
Wonderful.
So
you're desiring to see these three grow in the things of the Lord.
Yes.
That is the ardent desire of many Catholic parents, and I think it's wonderful. And you want to see your children mm-hmm. grow in the Lord. And really, for that reason you come, and for the reason to submit to your husband. Is that why you started to come regularly then?
I did. And like I said, at that point still, I was not saved.
Yes. Now you say saved, and that may not be too familiar of a mm-hmm. term with the Catholic person.
Yeah, that
means
was
that
very...
You didn't feel in right standing before God, and you didn't know... You weren't sure that your salvation is in Christ.
I did not even know what saved was. When people ask me if I was saved, I'm like, what is this word? This word just bounces off of me, and it doesn't make sense to me. So.
Yeah. Well, can you explain how did you come to a right relationship then with God?
Oh, it was a rough day. It was an extremely rough day. It had nothing to do with Mark.
Yeah.
My heart was hardened. It was just heavy.
Yes.
And I was very, very hard on my children, because that is how Catholics are. They're hard. You set them up like little soldiers, and if they don't do the right thing, you're all over them, and you're putting them down. And one morning in August, it was 2 weeks before I was due with my baby, and we were in the vehicle, and I don't even know what happened. I just flew off the edge, and I screamed at the children, and they're in the back seat. They broke down and cried because they didn't even know what they did wrong. And I said, I can't believe this. I go, why did I become a mother? Why am I having another baby? And how am I supposed to do this? And when I said that, I'm like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me?
Yes.
I am like so lost, and I don't know how to do this. And at that point, I said, oh my gosh, I said, I need to be saved. I said, I need Christ in my life. I need him to forgive me for everything that I've done to my children, to my husband. And
mm-hmm.
I said, this is, I thought I had Christ in my life, because I was going to church every week faithfully. I was, you know, I was involved in the Catholic Church, and I thought that I had Christ in my life, but I didn't. He was not the center of my life. And I knew that I needed him there.
Yes, yes.
So at
yes.
that point, I did ask for God to save me out of my miserable life and to come into me and for him to accept me.
Yes.
And just
that you could be accepted in Christ,
yes,
like it says
just,
in Ephesians
just
1.
Open up just open up your arms and just don't let me go, you know.
Yeah, and, and so. It's different ways that people cry out to God, and it's not that it is explicitly clear, but it's just this inner desire to be right with God and that you're looking to Him, like it says in Scripture, looking to Him, the author and finisher of our faith. And you know that it's God that saves. And it's personal.
It is
totally personal. Mm-hmm. So while you went to the Baptist church, it wasn't the Baptist church that was saving you, you know. It was, you were looking to God to save you. And it's totally personal. And it's, in that sense, overpoweringly real that you know that your life has been altered.
I would have not come to that. Personally, myself, I would not have come to that point if I was not under instruction of the Baptist Church.
Yes, that you were getting the word.
I was hearing the word for the
pastor was preaching,
time.
Presumably, now the righteousness of God is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Christ Jesus unto all them that believe, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He was preaching things like that, that all are sinners. And that you need to come to Christ, and you need to place your personal confidence in Him and Him alone.
Yes.
And because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you need to trust in Christ alone. And that is preached again and again in different Baptist churches. So you know the message. And so when it's not a blind faith, you know that it's the person of Christ. And and then it's very real because the Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are children of God, and that is extremely, extremely a great joy when you've been through some years of void. In my own life, it was 48 years, which was a long, long, long time. But what you went through must have seemed many, many years more than it actually was because of the emptiness of it, and then the joy. Just the overflowing joy when you come to the knowledge of the Lord. So where are you now, both of you, in your walk with the Lord, and what is your desire? I know that you really wanted to talk to people out there who look at our program, and you know, to talk to individual Catholics as we are doing now on the program. So what is your desire now, Mark and Sean? Maybe starting with you, Mark. What is your desire now?
My desire is to just become immersed in the Word of God. That's the first thing I need to do, and to become discipled and to really be able to go out and start witnessing the people. It's a desire I really, that's bubbling up inside me. I can feel it.
Yes, yes.
Right now, I don't feel comfortable with it. It doesn't flow out as well, as my wife will testify to that. I tried to witness to my family quite a bit over the last, probably 6 to 9 months, and it's been real difficult because they really don't want to hear it, and it's real tough. We've got a mix of Catholics in our family, but also just people that don't go to church, period.
Yeah.
And I try to talk to them about it, and you get responses like, well, oh, I'm busy that day, or you get just a bunch of answers that, you know they're lying under there.
Yeah, it is difficult. I went back to Ireland in 03, you know, and I had a telephone call beforehand, you know, where there was a family meeting for a birthday, and, you know, they said they loved me, you know, through one of my sisters, they loved me, and they were wanting me to come, and but they said there was a stipulation. They said, when you come, Richard, you're not to talk about religion. So I told the sister to tell the group, I said, oh, I will not talk about religion, but I must talk about my Lord. And that didn't receive too good of a response, you know, but I was insisting, I don't want to talk about religion, but I do want to talk about the Lord. And they were not too happy to know that I wanted to come and talk about the Lord. But the Lord does give us this great desire, and principally now you want to see your three girls grow in the love of God.
Yes.
If you could say something about that, because that's really the theme I wanted to be on as I've learned about your family, because that is the desire of so many Catholic families, and you have finally achieved that, and I want you to say something about that, what you desire for your three girls.
We want them to be saved. We've talked to them several times, I've gone through tracts with them, and we've had members here at our church go through the gospel with them, and they've said that they've accepted Christ.
Yeah.
They've said that they've repented. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, now I don't think we really see it. But
I know, but it, because they're so young, it's very hard to be convicted. What's the elder, the age of the elder?
The oldest is nine.
Nine, yeah. It's hard to see that you're a sinner. You're a little sinner is just as bad sinner, but it's hard mm-hmm. to see it and to see that you have a sin nature. And to get convicted, but we do pray that that your children will come to the knowledge that Christ died for sinners and that they are a sinner and that they trust Him and Him alone. And that is your desire. But they are growing in the knowledge of the Word.
That's,
are they?
Yeah.
And they're
thing.
Getting Bible knowledge
Bible
and Bible verses.
Yeah.
And that is just the glory. I was talking to some of the children yesterday at this church, and to see some of them so exuberant, the little children who knew the Lord so much, I was talking to Michael Medley's eldest son, his second eldest son, and he was explaining to me, what it was to be convicted of sin and to know and trust Christ, and I was encouraged, to know this, to see that young people wanting to know more of Scripture and desiring really to have salvation. And it's another children telling me their favorite Bible verses, and mm-hmm. that always encourages me. And I think that's what, parents should desire. And as Catholic parents, if you're watching and listening, desire that for your family. It is to know Christ first of all yourself.
Yes.
And because you cannot explain really to your children unless you have come to the knowledge of the Lord yourself. So mm-hmm. if you are a Catholic parent looking at this, I praise God for your desire to see your children grow up in the fear, love of the Lord, and that you want to see them grow and to be free from drugs and free from sin and to grow in wisdom and to be not only respectable in the community, but to have a right relationship with God and to have a peace with God so they do not get into all the problems that we see in modern day society all around us, that they are secure and that you have a joy in them and not a heartbreak. Now, how can you get there? As a parent, it is only by knowing the Word yourself. Mark, I think before we did this program, you mentioned Isaiah chapter 53:5, which says?
It says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed."
And with his stripes, we are healed. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. This is 700 years, isn't it,
before?
I think 750 years to be exact, before Christ comes. And these words spoken in prophecy by Isaiah pinpoint the meaning of the cross.
Yes.
The meaning. Our chastisement was upon him. Our sin was upon him. The Apostle Peter nearly said it in the exact same words. He took our sins on his body on the cross by his stripes, or by his wounds. We are healed. Now, is that your own conviction? Have you been convicted that you're a sinner and that You have come to the place where you can say, by his wounds, by his stripes, I am healed. It's only then that you're going to be able to bring up your children in the joy of the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord and the wisdom of the Lord in the security of the Lord. And that, as I see, is the whole theme of what both of you have spoken about, that you have desired for your three girls this joy unspeakable and full of glory that the Apostle Peter speaks about. So I am so thankful for that. And are you seeing as a mother now that you have that joy yourself, Sean?
Mm-hmm. I see it a lot. Before this, my oldest daughter, who's now 9, she would come home from school, she would go into her room or she'd sit on the couch and put her face in a book rather than talk to me and come home and talk to me. And I realized that since I've been saved, she'll come home, she'll hug me and say, I missed you, Mommy, and she'll talk about her day, and we'll literally talk now instead of coming home and just hiding from me.
Yes, I think that is just a beautiful note to finish.
I love it. I love it because my children truly know now that I really, truly love them and that they are a gift.
Yes.
They are.
Praise God. That is just a beautiful note to finish, Sean.
It is.
Because
so wonderful.
That's what our Catholic parent desires. And you got there by trusting Christ and
Christ alone.
And it's the same for you, precious viewer. You will get there by trusting Christ alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that joy that your daughter did was not all puffed up and sitting in a corner, but came to you and hugged you and loved you as a mother.
Mm-hmm.
That joy that you have children who know the Lord, and I pray that that joy is yours, and the joy that has exuded from Mark and Sean today will be part of the joy that you know for real as you trust on Christ and Christ alone. And to him be glory, praise, and worship. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Sean. And praise God forever and ever. Amen.